Thank you. All right, open your Bibles to Luke chapter 24. We'll turn several places, but we're going to look at Luke chapter 24 first. Now, you ever have something you try to put out of your mind and can't do it? You know, sometimes it's a pain. You just have something wrong with a foot. Well, you get a foot that hurts. You know, one of the sure signs of old age is you find yourself praying for more body parts. Listen, man, you'll have pains where you think you didn't even know you had parts, you know, and you get a foot that doesn't work right, and you'll try to ignore it, but man, you go to step on it, and it hurts. And you wake up in the morning and say, well, why does this hurt? You know, you don't even know what this is. It just hurts there. And maybe when you go to work, maybe there's somebody like that. Maybe there's a person like that. Maybe they give you a hard time because of your Christianity, or some folks you just avoid, or try to, but you can't, you know. You ever been someplace and you saw somebody in the store, didn't want to see him, so you went 2 aisles down, and then you heard him say, hey! Well, I'm going to talk to you today about Jesus Christ in this respect. Now look, this nation was founded on this book, all right? It is the only nation in history that was founded on this book and on the God of this book. America is the only nation that ever chose the God of this book as their God. Israel didn't choose God, God chose Israel. Which is good for them, all right? But we are the only nation that at our founding, we founded this nation on this God. And Jesus Christ and the Christianity of that book permeates our society, permeates our culture, to a point that just actually drives the world crazy. They can't stand it. And I don't know about you, you know, but what people try to do in this country now is they're trying to ignore him. Jesus Christ is a hard man to ignore, bud. You can ignore a bunch of people. You cannot ignore Jesus Christ. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at Pilate. Pilate was a prominent politician at the time of Jesus Christ, and we're going to look at him and what it does. All Pilate's doing, I mean, listen, corrupt or not corrupt, I don't care if he's the best politician that Rome ever had, that he was a fine man or anything else. The fact is that somewhere along the line, you are going to run into Jesus Christ. And then you're going to run into him again, and you're going to run into him again, and you're going to run into him again, and you can spend the rest of your life trying to hide from him or trying to ignore him, trying to put him off, but he's a hard man to ignore. He is a hard man to ignore. And Pilate found that out. Pilate thought, okay, he's a preacher, and I'm in government, and as long as he doesn't break the law, I don't go to church, the twain shall never meet, okay? I got no problem, but that was not the way it was going to be. And so we're going to look at the ways that Pilate tried to put Jesus Christ off, and it's very similar to the way people try to put Jesus Christ off today. Let's bow our heads first and pray. Father, I thank you. Today I can call you Father. Now, I call you my Father because I've been saved. I've trusted what Jesus Christ did on the cross as my own payment for sins, God. I know I ought to go to hell. I ought to be on my way there right now, but I'm not going there. I ask you, Father, please speak to the hearts of your people. God, if there's anybody here who has never trusted you as their personal Savior, let them realize today you cannot be ignored. You just cannot be ignored. God, you touch the hearts of everybody here. Lord, this is church, and these people have come for you, not for this, for me. God, they want something from your book. I pray, God, that I'll not be the hindrance to that. And just speak to the hearts of every individual here, God, that the church might be edified and that you might be glorified. In Jesus Christ's name I ask it. Amen. Now, Pilate had Jesus Christ brought before him in Luke chapter 24. And it says this, verse 6. Well, I'm sorry, did I say 24? 23, verse 6. And he had Jesus Christ brought before him, and it said, when Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged unto Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was in Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. First thing I want you to notice here is that Pilate tried to send him to somebody else. You know that's what people do when they're lost? You start talking to somebody about Jesus Christ, you know what they always try to do? They always try to send him to somebody else. You know when you first get saved, I don't know about you, but it seems to be pretty true. When we all get saved, we all labor under two false assumptions. The first one is we think our friends and family have not heard the gospel. The second one is we think they'll be excited when we tell them. Man, I was Roman Catholic, you know, and I thought, man, my folks haven't heard this. And so I went and I started telling about Jesus Christ. Then I found out they heard about it a long time ago. When I went to witness to my sister is 6 years older than me. when I told my sister about salvation through grace, you know what the first thing she said was, my husband needs it. How many people you know, you witness to this, oh, I'll tell you who needs that. And they always tell you, oh, I'll tell you what, listen, I'm not a bad person. Both so-and-so, man, they're really bad. Why don't you go tell them? I go to church. Why don't you tell somebody else? I don't need Jesus Christ. And they always try to put him off and send him to somebody else. People, Jesus Christ is not that easy to ignore. And you get this crowd out here, and I don't care, man, listen, if you're in the south or the north or the east or the west, you've got a nation full of people, and they always try to put him off. They always try to point him at somebody else. They always try to send him to somebody else. And all of it is a tactic. Pilate didn't want to face him. So Pilate said, I'll just send him to Herod. So he sent him to Herod. What did Herod do? Man, he listened to him, turned right back around, sent him back to Pilate. If you've ever been any place, you know when you were lost and somebody came to witness to you and you sent him away and somewhere along the line he came back? Time and again, buddy, you send Jesus Christ off. Listen, Pilate, when Herod went out the door, or when Jesus Christ went out the door on his way to Herod, I believe Pilate just said, whew, man, I'm rid of that guy. Boy, I don't want, that was a real political hot potato, man. I'm trying to keep peace with the Jews. I don't want to do anything with this guy. Man, am I sure glad he's going to Herod. And Herod went over there because he knew Herod needed him. See, Herod was a wicked man. Pilate and Herod were enemies. And Pilate knew Herod needed Jesus Christ. And so he said, yeah, let him go out there and straighten Herod out. And Herod turned right back around and sent him back to Pilate. Man, there's another knock at the door. And they said, he said, what do you want now? And they said, well, you're supposed to reign Jesus Christ. He said, man, I had him here and already sent him to Herod. And they said, nope, Herod sent him back. Jesus Christ, a hard man to ignore. I want you to look at John chapter 18. John chapter 18. Beginning of verse 31, it says this, Then said Pilate unto them, take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying by what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Now, before I read any farther, let me say this. You're going to find something out about Pilate in this portion of Scripture and the next one that I read here in John chapter 19 really shows what Pilate had, what he really thought of Jesus Christ. Verse 34, Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell thee of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the world. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate said unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and said unto him, look what he said, I find in him no fault at all. Keep reading. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? And they cried, then cried they all again, saying, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. First thing I want you to know, or second thing, after he tried to send him away, what he tried to do is just tried to turn him loose. He tried to say, well, I got nothing against this guy. You brought him in here, he didn't break any law, I'm just going to turn him loose. What he wanted to do is try to kind of maintain peace with Jesus Christ. You know, there's people like that. There's lost people. What they try to do is they just try to say, well, I'm not really bad. No, I'm not against God. I don't cuss, and I don't go out on my wife. I haven't murdered anybody. I'm just trying to turn him loose. They don't want to be responsible for any nail holes in his hands. They don't be responsible for any nail holes in his feet. They don't be responsible for any thorn holes in his head. They don't be responsible for a spear hole in his side. They just want to say, well, I knew about him. I just tried to send him away, and he came back. And so then I just tried to turn him loose and say, look, I got nothing against you. I find no fault in you. It's that crowd out there that found fault in you. It's that crowd out there that said something bad about you. But I'm just trying to be nice. It ain't going to work that way, because he's a hard man to ignore. And when he tried to turn him loose, now John chapter 19 gets exciting. Verse 1, then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And all he's trying to do is appease the Jews, all right? And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. Then the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him. But when the chief priests and priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. That's the third time he said it. This guy's trying to be innocent, isn't he? You can't be innocent of the blood of Jesus Christ. There isn't a person here that's innocent of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I know what you're going to say. You know, you've got a prison ministry, and you go to prisons. I pastored in Auburn, New York, and we had a maximum security prison in Auburn, New York, 40-foot concrete walls. We had Wall Street in Auburn. And Wall Street, I'd always bring visitors. I said, I'm going to take you to Wall Street. They go to New York, they're looking for Wall Street. And Wall Street, it wasn't a straight street. It was just a little bit curved. And the wall of the prison came that way. I'll tell you, when you came around one turn, you looked down there, all you saw was wall. And you go in there, and I had guys I'd go into the prison and I'd deal with. And I would go down through a list of all the wicked, terrible things that people in prison have done. And you might say, Jason, well, look now, I've never been in prison. I haven't done anything like that. I'm not as bad as them. And what he's trying to say is, I find no fault in him. I didn't do anything. He should like me. I'm really a nice guy. Didn't work that way. Look at verse 7. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God. Now, up to this point, you know what the issue has been? The issue has been that Jesus Christ said he was king of the Jews. And that made the Jews mad. And so they brought Jesus Christ to Pilate, and they said, This guy said he's king of the Jews. And so what did Pilate been asking? He said, Are you the king of the Jews? Are you a king? Just who are you? Because you see, by title, Pilate had the title of king of the Jews. And if Jesus Christ were claiming to be king of the Jews, then he was claiming to have the office that Pilate had. And what he'd been dealing with in chapter 18 was whether he was the king of the Jews or not. But man, it all came out right here in chapter 19 when he said, We want to kill him because he said he's the Son of God. Man, when he said that, when they said that, well, Pilate got a message. Watch this, verse 8. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. You notice it says he's more afraid? He's already afraid. He was already afraid because he knew he had an innocent man and they wanted to crucify him. Now, how would you like to whip a guy? How would you like to play the crown of thorns and put it on his head and then find out he's the Son of God? You might act like Pilate did. Look what he says, verse 9. And went again into the judgment hall and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? You know what he said? He said, Where are you from? He knew where he's from as far as down here. You know what he want to know? He want to know, are you from God? Are you the Son of God? Now remember this. For years, Jesus Christ has been preaching. 3.5 years. And Pilate's heard word that he was preaching. And him and Herod maybe have talked. And Herod said, Oh yeah, he was out preaching, called me a fox. And he'd never met him. And then all of a sudden he's arrested and he's right in front of him. So he tries to send him away. He tries to send him to Herod. Herod sends him back. So now what he just tries to do is he just tries to make kind of a peace with him. Well, I didn't do anything with him. I find no fault in him. I'm not his enemy. I'm really an all-around nice guy. You just need to go to somebody else. He doesn't need to bother me. I find no fault in him. You cannot be innocent of the blood of Jesus Christ. So you're here today and you didn't murder anybody. Good for you. So you're here today, you haven't committed adultery. I'm very glad. So you're here today, you haven't stolen anything from where you work. Well, isn't that nice? You are still a sinner. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but that is all. The Bible says over in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, it says, But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers. Now that's a bad crowd, isn't it? And all liars. Shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You know that when you come to that verse, God only put all in front of one sin. He put all in front of one sin. He knew everybody here did. Listen, he knew you weren't all murderers. He knew you weren't all adulterers. He knew you weren't all sorcerers. He knew that. But I'll tell you, he knew you weren't all whoremongers. Man, he knew you was all liars. Hey, look, folks, you were lying before you could talk. Listen, when you were a baby, they fed you, they washed you, they changed you. Listen, you were fed, you were clean, you were dry, and your mom was holding you, and she walked over to the crib and set you down, and when she set you down, man, I mean, you lit off like she set you on a cactus, brother. And she picked you up. Say, what is that? That's a lie. You parents. Who taught your kid to lie? Nobody. It comes natural. You know, I've never been in your church. And don't get mad at me, you know, but I knew I was coming to a pack of liars. So don't feel bad, so am I. Look, if I said who murdered somebody here, you might not raise your hand. If I said who committed adultery here, or maybe I said this, who has never murdered anybody, you put your hand up. If I said if you never committed adultery, you put your hand up. If I said if you never told a lie, if you put your hand up, that'd be at least your second one. People, nobody is innocent of the blood of Jesus Christ. And so the next thing he tried to do, he tried to send him somebody else, and then he just tried to kind of turn him loose. Just kind of say, well, you know, he's to that other crowd. You ever knock on a door and have somebody say, well, yeah, you know, what you need to do is you need to take Jesus down to the mission, and you need to go down to the jail. That's right. Those people need him, you know. But why, don't you know I work in church? Why, I go to my church. I'm a deacon in my church. I teach. No, you know, I don't need him. Why, I'm not his enemy. Oh, you're a liar, though. You're a sinner. Look what it says in Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, not only did he try to send him away to somebody, not only did he try to turn him loose, but he was witnessed to about him by others. Look at verse 19. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Now people, what you need to do is you need to put yourself in the place of Pilate on this day. Pilate was minding his own business when Jesus Christ was arrested by the high priests and the scribes and the Pharisees, and he's minding his own business when they bring him in. And so what he says is, okay, I'll send him to Herod. And when he went to Herod, he said, all right, the problem is now taken care of, right? But he came back. So he said, okay, listen, I've examined the guy. It's obvious he's an innocent man. These Jews are reasonable. I'll tell him that he's reasonable, or I'll tell him that he's innocent. I find no fault in him, and that'll settle it. He walked out there and said, okay, guys, I find no fault in him. And they all said, crucify him. He said, there's nothing wrong with him. He didn't do anything wrong. I don't find any fault in him. Crucify him, crucify him. Now, you notice it's getting a little deeper than he wanted it to be? He's getting a little more entwined than he wanted to be. So now he's trying to do this, and all of a sudden there's a note from his wife that says, oh, let this guy alone, man. I've suffered many things to him in a dream. You think he needed that? You think of all those, I mean, he's got a political hot potato. He's got enough problems before him, and now he has somebody else come in and talk to him about him. Well, you know the world hates when Jesus Christ shows up, but I love it. About time you were lost, you know, and you thought you'd get away from Jesus Christ, you know you just can't get away from Jesus Christ. I didn't see this. I'm glad I didn't see it. Somebody said they were watching some of that daytime TV. Now, you've got to have a real low mentality to watch daytime TV, okay? I mean, TV's bad enough. Listen, I think nighttime TV's sinful. Daytime TV's stupid, all right? And if you watch The Stomach Turns or whatever it is, you know, or you watch Oprah, Jesse, Raphael, or some bald guy, or Phil Donahue, and all this other junk, man, and all the perverts they get, I mean, if you are interested in daytime TV, brother, you got a brain like a sewer, all right? There's somebody who's watching this, Sally, Jesse, Raphael, and they had these women on there. And it's Marilyn Monroe. He said, oh, it was a woman impersonating Marilyn Monroe. No, what? It was a man. And they had a bunch of women, Cher, and somebody else. I guess this really wasn't Cher. I guess it was Cher alike. But they had all these women, movie stars, and they were male, female impersonators. Now, I'm going to tell you something, man. They're all in line. They're already lined up. I mean, all you need to do is shoot them, okay? They're lined up. But, and then they started taking questions from people out in the audience, you know, and they're asking, who does your hair? I don't know. What do you ask some pervert, man? You know, like, don't shake my hand, please. I don't know what you say. But anyway, some guy stood up and said this. Well, you can say you do this as a business. You can say you do this as a joke. But what are you going to do when you have to stand in front of Jesus Christ? Ooh. Hey, now wait. You think when they went on Sally, Jesse, Raphael, they ever expect to hear about Jesus Christ? And this guy said, he said, man, it was like a pack of dogs. He said, when he said the Lord Jesus, when you stand in front of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said all of them started. They got vicious and cutting. Yeah, but you know what? They couldn't get away from him, could they? Well, you cannot get away from Jesus Christ. And right about time you think everything is going just fine, man, I mean, somebody will walk up and tell you about Jesus Christ. When you were lost, you were trying to get away from him. When I was lost, you know, After I got saved, and my dad tried to get away from him. And I remember one time, I got my New Testament in my back pocket, all right? But I used to carry my New Testament in my front pocket right here. And it was a thicker one, and so it stuck out just like that. And I remember one time my dad was coming up the basement steps. My dad, lost Roman Catholic, and he saw it there, and he said, "What's that? Pack of cigarettes?" Oh, he wanted it to be a pack of cigarettes in the worst way. And it said New Testament. I said, "No, Dad." And I put it right like this. I said, "That's the New Testament." Up, he like did a double backflip down in basement steps. That was not what he wanted to hear. One time, I'd been doing some paint work, and I left a work shirt hanging in the cellarway. And I had a bunch of tracks in that flap over the top of that work shirt. And it was hanging there. My dad was coming up them steps again. He bumped that shirt, and the weight of those tracks dropped like a shot. And he said, "Oh, I knocked your shirt down." And I heard him. You know, I was in the living room, and I heard him. And he said, he picked it up. He felt some weight. And he said, "What's in this pocket?" "A pack of cigarettes." And I listened, and I heard him go, "Oh." Now, wait a minute. I didn't witness to him. But he couldn't get away from Jesus Christ, could he? Well, you can't get away from Jesus Christ. I mean, there'll be a gospel tract somewhere waiting for you. There'll be a Christian somewhere waiting for you. Right when you least expect it, there'll be somebody waiting for you. You'll try to tell you a dirty joke, and somebody will say, "Wait a minute, I'm a Christian. I don't want to hear that." I mean, people, here's what you're going to find out. It don't matter where you go. It doesn't matter what you do. He is a hard man to ignore. Here's Pilate. I mean, his day is already ruined, and now he's got to hear about him from somebody else. Have nothing to do with this just man. You know what people come around? They come around and tell you he's a just man. You don't want to hear it. He's a hard man to ignore. Look what it says, Matthew chapter 27. Look at verse 21. The governor answered and said unto them, "Whither the twain will ye that I release unto you?" And they said, Barabbas. Pilate said unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" They all say unto him, "Let him be crucified." And the governor said, "Why, what evil hath he done?" But they cried out the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude. Obviously, this guy was Church Christ. He thought water could take care of a problem that blood was needed for. He took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it." Question. Now, he said, "I'm innocent of the blood of this just person," right? Was he? No. Saying it don't make it true, does it? And so the next thing I see he just tried to wash his hands to it. What he tried to say is, "All right, listen, I'll tell you what, I'll turn him over to you. You do what you want, but I've got nothing to do with this. I am clean on this." You can't get rid of him that easy, people. You might say, "I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm not going to tell any more jokes, and I'm just going to have nothing to do with this. I'm not going to be a part of this." People, you cannot ignore the Lord Jesus Christ. You can wash your hands all day. You can wash yourself all day, but you still need the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will not be ignored. He will not be washed off, Eddie. He'll not be put off. That's what Pilate tried to do. Tried to wash his hands. I didn't have nothing to do with it. So you knock on the door and somebody say, "Well, I didn't kill him." "Oh, yes, you did." "I wasn't there." And if you ever talk to somebody and they said this, if he were alive today, I wouldn't do that." Are you kidding? If he's alive today, some of you and some of me would probably be in the front row with the staves and the torches to pick him up at the garden. We all like to think that if he was here today, we would all walk up and say, "Jesus, I understand." I mean, Peter ain't got it straight, Jesus, and John ain't got it straight, but listen, I understand. Hey, if he was alive today, or we were back alive in his day, some of us very people, even if he had healed our blind eyes and healed our deaf ears, we'd still be the ones standing right in front trying to carry him to Pilate, get some brownie points from Pilate. And if he would try to say, "Well, I just have nothing to do with it. I don't tell those kind of jokes, and I won't do that. I'll just stay clear." You can't wash your hands to Jesus Christ. Every time Pilate turned around, listen, this is like trying to turn loose. I read of a fire one time. It was a fire in an old school building. One of them old frame school buildings where they met downstairs in a classroom, had another classroom upstairs. And they were having a play. And when they were having a play, it was in the winter, and the building caught fire. And the only way out of that building was down the steps and out the front door. And in running down those steps to get out that front door, somebody fell down. And when that person fell down, everybody piled on top of them. There was about 200 people in that little school building. And they said, now get this. There are people that died in this fire that were not in the building. You know how it happened? What happened was that pile of humanity got down there and everybody's hanging on to everybody. And somebody would walk in try to rescue somebody, walk in and grab the arm of somebody, try to pull them out of that crowd, and somebody grabbed their leg. And they couldn't get their leg free. Pretty soon, they couldn't get free of the person whose arm they had. They couldn't get free of the person whose leg they had. Somebody else grabbed them, and an innocent bystander was pulled into that crowd. And it said that people died. There were people that could have gotten free, but somebody would not let go because if they were getting free, they thought, if I hang on to them, I can get free. People who came by to rescue were caught in that mass of humanity, just arms and legs, and people just grabbing hold of anybody and hanging on to them. And literally, people who were not in that building, not at that place, they died. They just, once they got into that thing, they tried to pull free. They couldn't pull free. Somebody grabbed them here, somebody grabbed them here, somebody grabbed them here, and they died in that fire. That's like trying to get away from Jesus Christ. I mean, Pilate, man, listen, Jesus Christ showed up and he said, send him to Herod. I sent him to Herod. Oh, he's back. Oh, he's back. I'll turn him loose. I have no fault in it. Listen, will you let go? And every time this guy moves, he gets deeper involved and deeper entwined, and you are not going to get away from Jesus Christ by washing your hands here. You can trumpet your righteousness and trumpet how you've been a good little boy and a good little girl. You can tell us how you've been a deacon. I talked to a lady one time in Georgia. And I was talking about being in ministry and such. And she said, oh, that's wonderful. And I said, yeah, and I'm going through it. She said, that's just great. And I said, have you been saved? She said, oh, my dad's a deacon. Well, now, who is going to show up in heaven's door and get in on that? And I said, well, have you been saved? She said, I was raised in church. Isn't it funny how people answer questions you never ask? You ever ask a question, ask somebody if they're a Christian, they'll tell you they're an American? I've had people tell me that. I've asked somebody a Christian. I said, are you a Christian? They said, I was born in this country. That's like saying, how tall are you? And they say, 59 Chevy. I mean, they're answering a question that you did not ask. And what he's trying to do now is he washes his hands to him and he says, I have nothing to do with this. Look at chapter 27. Jesus Christ is taken to the cross and crucified. Chapter 27, verse 33, it says this, and when they were come into a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar drink mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots, and sitting down, they watched him there. Now, nobody likes to make a mistake. One thing about a mistake, once it's made, it's made. Did you ever get rid of a car and get a new car and find out the one you got rid of was a good one and the one you got is a bad one? Now, you can do anything you want, but the mistake's already made. You can sit down all day long, you know, your wife saying, well, we should have kept that old car, look, lady, it's gone. I mean, whether we should have or not, it is gone now. That is out of the argument. You know, Jesus Christ has been crucified. You know what Pilate says? Pilate says, innocent or guilty, king of the Jews or son of God, hands clean or not, he's dead. I mean, at least now, I didn't want to see him die. It really wasn't my idea. I tried to say I had nothing to do with it, but at least he's gone. At least now it'll be over. Now they'll bury the guy and we'll forget about him. Look at verse 62. Now the next day that followed, the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, sir, we remember that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. You reckon that made Pilate's day? Here's Pilate, man. I mean, you know what the last 24 hours has been for him? He has been trying to rid himself of Jesus Christ and rid himself of Jesus Christ and rid himself of Jesus Christ. And finally, the Jews ridded him of Jesus Christ their way. And so now he's dead. And you know what it said? It said when they brought word that he was dead, it says he marveled that he was so soon dead. When word came to Pilate, they said, hey, Jesus Christ is dead. And he said, he is. Because I think he believed he was the Son of God. I ain't saying he got saved. But if there's ever a man believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, it was Pilate. And he marveled that he was so soon dead. And so he said, now look, I think he got alone. He said, you know, I didn't want anything to do with this. I was minding my own business. Those Jews brought him to me. I sent him to Herod. He came back. I tried to turn him loose. I tried to say there was no fault in him. I tried to wash my hands to him. My wife, man, I went home the night he got crucified. My wife is burning my ear about he's a righteous man and all her stinking dreams. But look, he's dead and he's gone and he's finally out of my hair. And the next day these guys show up and he thinks, well, at least they're going to say thanks for take care of a problem for us. And he said, what can I do for you guys now? And they said, oh, by the way, he said he's coming back 3 days. That will ruin your day. Now, notice they never told him that before they crucified him. Can you imagine what was this? Okay, guys, what do you want? You glad he's crucified now? He's dead? And they said, well, he said he's going to rise up. He said he's going to what? What do you think the next 3 days was like for Pilate? Look what it says. Verse 64. Command, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day. Lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. Here's no humor in this next verse. Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch, go your way, make it sure as you can. He said, seal that grave. He said, listen, man, we've got to be rid of this guy. You think he slept well that night? You think he slept well the next night? I'll bet you Pilate was wringing his hands. You know why? Because Jesus Christ is a hard man to ignore. Now, who do you know that when he went to the grave ever came back? Nobody. Friend or foe. Listen, you look in the history of this nation, there have been good men, there have been bad ones. Some of them when they died, we rejoiced. Some of them when they died, we felt bad. But the fact is that once they went to the grave, they were there. There wasn't anything you could do about it. When this man went to the grave, I mean, Pilate was wringing his hands. What do you think? Look at chapter 28, verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. He said, as he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. I would have liked to have seen Pilate's face when the guards came in and said, he's gone. Then you know what? He was on the earth for 40 days. Now, I personally don't believe that Jesus Christ appeared to anybody lost during those 40 days. The reason I don't believe he appeared to anybody lost is very simple. The Bible says you're saved by faith, right? And if you saw Jesus Christ after he's resurrected and you were lost, you'd have believed on him because of what you saw, not what you believed. I don't believe he appeared to anybody lost. Pilate was completely safe, but Pilate didn't know that. And I'll bet he'd hear, you know, somebody say, well, did you hear? He was walking over there by the Sea of Galilee. I mean, every time Pilate went out for the next 40 days, man, I could just see him stand in a restaurant in a line and somebody say, hey, and he'll, oh, man. Oh, don't do that to me. Don't do that. Pilate, you've never been nervous like this. Oh, man, just don't come up. Well, is there something bothering you? No, there's nothing bothering you. Let me see your hands. Okay. No, there's nothing bothering me. I mean, you think he's walking through a crowd and you go, oh, no, I see him. That's got to be him. That's him. It wasn't him. He's a hard man to ignore. Now, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do something you are not supposed to do. I'm going to preach the end of this two ways. You see, Pilate died, right? Someday he died. Now, I don't believe this about Herod. I don't believe this about Agrippa. I don't believe this about Felix. I don't believe this about Festus. I believe this about Pilate. I believe, after looking at John chapter 19, I believe that Pilate knew Jesus Christ was the Son of God. I don't know that he got saved. And so let's find out what would have happened if he died lost. If he died lost, where'd he go? He went to hell, right? Jesus Christ is in heaven, isn't he? You know, if Pilate went to hell, if he died lost and went to hell, and I think hell is torment. Listen, I think hell is a lake of fire. I think once you get there, you're in torment. It's eternal. You know what Pilate probably is down there saying? He is down there writhing in the pain, and he's saying, yeah, but at least there's no Jesus here. At least I'm rid of him. I mean, I got this flame, and I can't stand this, but at least I'm away from him. At least I don't have to go around a corner and worry about running to him. At least I got rid of him. Look at Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to his works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire." This is the second death. "And whomsoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire." If Pilate didn't get saved, he's in hell right now. Right? And you know as well as I do, the judgment I just read about is prophetic. It has not happened yet, right? And Pilate is in hell and he's saying, "All right, I hate it here. I don't want to be here. And I tried to be good, tried not to come here. But at least I don't have to face Jesus Christ anymore. At least I don't have to worry about washing my hands. At least I don't have to send him away. At least Herod is here with me." And one of these days, he's going to hear his name called. He's going to say, "Well, where are you taking me? I'm already in hell." "Well, you've got an appointment." "Who do I have an appointment with?" "Somebody named Jesus. You can't even escape him in hell." You know what it says in Philippians chapter 2? Look at it. Philippians chapter 2 says this in verse 9. "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that is the name of Jesus. Every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of the glory of God the Father." If Pilate's in hell right now, the day's going to come, he's going to stand in front of Jesus Christ, and he's going to bow his knee, and he's going to say, "Jesus Christ is Lord." Is that true? Then he's going to go to the lake of fire and never get out. Did you ever stop and think about this? If he would have done this action when he had Jesus Christ in front of him, he'd save himself a lot of grief, wouldn't he? And so the other side of it is, what if Pilate got saved? What if after the resurrection, Pilate reconsidered this thing, maybe got out of political office, and so it wasn't so politically expedient for him to reject Jesus Christ anymore? What if he got saved? I ain't saying he did. I'm saying more than any other ruler, I believe he's more, he believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Now, I think people can believe that and go to hell. But what if he got saved? Then he's in heaven. And you know what he does every now and then? Every now and then he walks by that throne. He says, "Hi, Jesus." And Jesus says, "Hi, Pilate. How you doing?" "I'm doing fine." "Hey, you know what? Jesus Christ is Lord." "Boy, listen, Lord, since I said that, my life has never been the same. It's just so good that I admitted that you were the Lord of my life." People, whether you're lost or whether you're saved, you're going to be on your face in front of Jesus Christ. He is absolutely impossible to ignore. I was raised in public school. There's a lot of things they didn't teach me. They cheated me on my history. They cheated me on my math. They cheated me on my morals. Listen, my public education came up short in every area, but you know where the greatest area was where they... And I got to that thing, we didn't have a 5-year reunion, we had a 10-year reunion. And I started talking to people, and you know what I ran into? I ran into another guy, he'd gotten saved. I ran into some girl that I graduated with, she'd gotten saved. I talked to another guy, she had me open in prayer, man. When I opened in prayer, they knew something had changed about me. And somebody else came up and said, "Man, what happened? You stand to get saved?" I said, "Yeah." "Did you get saved?" I said, "Yeah." You know what? When we graduated, we had an appointment with Jesus Christ. Just so happened that some of us, when we first met him, we just got down on our knees and said, "Jesus Christ is Lord of the glory of God the Father." And it flat changed things. Are you going to do it now or are you going to do it later? You walk out here and say, "Well, I'll just ignore him." You can't ignore him. You can ignore me. I'm out of here tomorrow. Do you understand that? I am gone tomorrow. You don't even have to try to ignore me. I will leave. You can't ignore Jesus Christ. You can send him to somebody else. You can try to act like you're innocent, turn him loose. You can listen to all the other gospels or all the tracts you hear and get and all the messages you hear. You're not going to get away from him. You can wash your hands to him. You can crucify him and you can seal the tomb. You can't keep him down. You cannot get away from Jesus Christ. And if Herod died and went to hell, one of these days he's going to be on his knees in front of Jesus Christ confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. If he got saved, then he's going to get down on his knees and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Where all the lost and all the saved meet for the last time, they're all going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You're going to do it anyway. And if Herod had done it when he was alive, it saved him a lot of grief. You might sit here right there and say, I ain't bowing my knee to no man. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. No, I'm not getting on my knees in front of anybody. Yes, you are. And not in front of you. Oh, no, not in front of me. No. Man, some of you, I could have a gun to your head. You wouldn't get on your knees in front of me. But you're going to get on your knees. Everybody in this place can get, and not one. Not one of these nice, humble things like this. I mean, on your knees. You'll probably put your nose on the ground. But everybody will hear you say, Jesus Christ is Lord. And if you haven't said it, you're going to say it. You're going to say it in heaven, and you're going to say it in hell. But you're going to say it. You know why? Because he's a hard man to ignore. I'd like you to stand with your heads bowed. The fact is, whether Pilate went to heaven or hell, what he said didn't change. What he is bound to say, Jesus Christ is Lord. Maybe I'm talking to somebody this morning. Maybe you get tired of people handing you gospel tracts. You get tired of going down the road and seeing scripture signs in somebody's yard. You don't like somebody trying to ask you if you're saved. You hear somebody preaching on the street, that upsets you. That's too bad. You can't get away from it. And if you can't get away from him in time, believe me, you can't get away from him in eternity. You might say this morning, just like Pilate, well, I didn't do anything to him. Yes, you did. You crucified him. When you told one lie, you murdered him with your sin. I could be talking to somebody this morning that's a cold-blooded murderer. I could be talking to somebody else that's done nothing more in life than run a stop sign. But both of you are lawbreakers. And I can be talking to somebody that's a murderer. And I can talk to somebody that just never did anything more than tell a lie. But you're both sinners. And your sin crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody here, little prophecy for you this morning. Everybody here is going to get on their knees and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Instead of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. Even the people in hell don't escape Jesus Christ. Poor old Pilate. He couldn't seal the grave. He couldn't wash his hands. The only thing he could have done was got down on his face in front of Jesus Christ there in John chapter 19 and just said, I confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father. It would have saved him a whole lot of grief. He's going to do it someday anyway. Maybe I'm talking to somebody this morning. You have never put the trust of your soul in Jesus Christ. If you have not done that, you are very plainly lost. I don't care if you're a church member. I don't care if you're a deacon. I don't care if you're a preacher. I don't care if you've been baptized. I don't care if you're a model husband and a perfect citizen. You are a sinner. You deserve hell. And that's where you're headed. So what do I need to do, preacher? I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to bow your knee this morning to the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to quit working working for it. You need to quit relying on your church membership, on your goodness. Quit worrying about what your family's going to say. You need to just get down on your knees and say, Lord, I ought to be in hell right now. I deserve hell right now. I'm taking what you did on the cross as my own as a payment for my sins. You're going to confess him as Lord while you live or after you die. That is one choice God makes. He allows you to make. God lets you choose the place that you confess Jesus is Lord. You cannot choose not to do it. You cannot option out of it. Is there anybody here this morning would say this? Preacher, the fact of the matter is this. If I died this morning, I don't know for a fact. I am not 100% sure that if I died this morning, I'd go to heaven. But I would just like to have that kind of peace. I would just like to know that my sins are forgiven. I would like to know that I had eternal life. Here's my hand. I just want to acknowledge that. Is anybody like that? Let me just lift your hand. If I died right now, I don't know for a fact that I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know. Here is my hand. Would you pray for me? Is there somebody like that here this morning? You hide behind your church? You hide behind your goodness? It says, every knee shall bow. It says, every tongue shall confess. If you've got a knee and you've got a tongue, you're going to do it. He is too hard to ignore. In just a moment, I'm going to have a word of prayer. I'll turn the invitation over to your pastor. If you're here this morning and you don't know for a fact that you've been saved, you come up here, there's somebody to take a Bible, and you can leave this building knowing that every sin you've ever committed has been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. You have a brand new life when you leave this building. If you're here and you're saved, maybe you've been trying to ignore the Lord in another way. Maybe He's been dealing with you about some sin. Maybe He's been dealing with you about something about your life. Why don't you really make Him Lord? Why don't you really let Him run your life this morning? Father, I'm glad today I can call You Father. You were not always my father. My father was the devil. My father now is God. God, there's no way I get to heaven but through the blood of Jesus Christ. God, I confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord God, I look forward to the day I get down on my face in front of Jesus Christ and say those words. But until then, I confess it here. God, if there's saved people here and they have they've just got some things in their life that are not right. There's some areas where you've been dealing with them. I pray You'll speak to their hearts today, God. I pray that You'll really become the Lord of some Christians' lives today. And Father, if there's one person here, they're trying to wash their hands for this whole thing. They're trying to put You off. They're trying to ignore You. Let them realize the day's coming when they're going to have to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. God, maybe they'll do it today. I know, God, if Pilate were here, He'd tell them, do it today. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen. Preacher.